G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist, Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path. G'day golfers and good morning, Postmasters SJ.
Yeah, good morning. Hello. Welcome to Pivot the Path this week, Postmasters.
Postmasters. Where do we start? There's to unwrap here.
Where do we begin?
It's
always such an awesome tournament. I really enjoyed it, especially Saturday. I really enjoyed Saturday. I sat there and I just couldn't get enough of it. And the leaderboard was just any given hole.
Chopping and changing.
All over the place. So, you know, six, eight guys in the mix there, and it could have gone any which way, which was really cool to see. Course started playing really tough.
Yeah, we got to go. We should go. The swing crew should go down to Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they lost me a little bit this year for the first time. I am usually glued to the TV. Shout out Jude, Andrew Tuden, who's caddying for Cam Davis. Spoke to Jude throughout and said it was an amazing event. Cam had a rough one the last day, but finished tied.
Really well going into that.
Yeah, he seems a lovely guy, big old lad, hits at 3:30.
He was one of those guys, him and Cameron Young are two people I was kind of had an eye out for going into the week and just didn't see him much on any of the coverage.
All right, we're going straight into this. So I was frustrated that for the first time on Sunday, they had gone so hard on Tiger all week.
Yeah.
And they still showed him and he wasn't breaking 80. And I'm like, I want to see Cam Davis. I want to watch Tudes, who's in his own right played PGA Tour, US Opens. Mm-hmm. I want to watch Andrew and Cameron win this thing. And I never saw it. Cameron Young, I want to watch. I don't even think I saw Cam Young.
Yeah, you want to see the people in contention. I mean, unbelievable Tiger made the cut, but then the weekend was a bit different for him. And so I feel like when they keep, you know, all the attention still on him, it's just a bit unfair to some of the other guys.
So is that where we start? So that's where we start. So I from a customer, they lost me that it had a pre-narrative set by the men of Augusta. Mm-hmm. The chairman obviously controls everything. It's becoming very controlled and it's losing its dynamicness. They had a preordained who we're going to see, who we're going to watch.
Groups.
We've got to have commentators who speak beautifully. And it's getting a little too contrived. And I think if we look at our members at Swing, and I think this is really important, we have 400 plus members. We've got at least 50% who didn't play golf 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're COVID golfers.
Yeah.
And Augusta's never going to reach those guys because it's a different mindset. They're dynamic and cool and I was very frustrated that they asked Aussie Jason Day to take his sweater off because it wasn't Augusta code. I'm like, dude, get with the program. You're killing the customer.
Yeah, it's a little old-fashioned, I suppose. But yeah. They do have quite some history. So
this is what I think we talk about, right? Change comes in waves, you said beautifully. We love it for its mystique and its history and its Palmer and player and but then it's really stuck in the 1990s. Like it's got to evolve a little bit. It'll be interesting to see whether they hold that or whether they do change because myself as a customer, as I said, I'm usually glued to that TV, but Saturday I was, well, Scheffler's brilliant and we've got to get into that. Yeah. Just awesome, but it was so boring.
Yeah, Sunday was a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was boring to watch. So I fixed the Landy. I had to change the oil and oil filter, and I had it on there on my phone.
Yeah.
But Friday and Saturday, I'm glued to it Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
We were rowing down it with our elders, so I had the phone on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sunday's like, eh, it's a shame.
Yeah, yeah, proven again, you can multitask.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The boss tempting. Is the multitasker. So where do we start? How do we unpack this thing? So news from the fairway. So why don't we start with our lads, Minwoo Lee.
Yeah, Minwoo Lee, strong finish at the end, even with a broken finger.
Yeah, so I was watching him on the range, and he was hitting it on Wednesday, and actually in a very subtle camera view, he was definitely taking his hand off the club.
Yeah.
And they weren't focused on him, yeah. So it was a back.
Right index finger.
I thought, yeah. Oh, you poor bugger. Yeah, so to come 22nd, that's insane.
A few under par on the last day, ended 22nd, so.
And then Will Zalatoris, getting back to what we said, I didn't see Will hit one shot.
I'm thinking back now, I didn't see a whole lot from him. He finished top 10.
He came tied ninth, and yeah. I didn't see him hit one shot. So our whole role here is to be, you know, that curator to keep it pretty honest and high and tight. They had a preordained set of players that they had to watch, mm-hmm. Tiger being number one. And to me, that ruined the event for a customer.
Yeah, I wish it was possible, and I'm sure way more complicated than I realized, but for the feature groups to be a dynamic thing depending on the day.
Yeah, 100%.
So I get for Thursday and even Friday in some cases where don't know who's going to play well, you know, you kind of pick the strong players. But as the week goes on, the feature groups should be the ones in contention.
Totally, you're speaking our language. Like if we watch the British Open coming up, I guarantee they don't have a preset ordained. They are watching who's winning, which is great. So you're seeing Sean Joyce, who's a golf pro from Idaho, who pre-queued, and you're actually watching him. Whereas, as I said, Will Zalatoris, I didn't see Will hit a shot, which for a customer who loves the game, you're showing me how I want to enjoy a concept. Whereas as a customer, I should choose how I want to enjoy it because everyone's got a different opinion.
Yeah. You know? And the one thing that I think is hard, again, when we talk about change is if you look at the numbers for the broadcast, I mean, this year for the Masters, there was more viewership, I think, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday than they've ever had by millions.
Which is insane.
ESPN. Tiger, so it is hard to say, you know, if Tiger being there brings in the numbers, they're going to spend most of their time talking about him. So
yeah.
It's a bit tricky, you know. I think I can see from their standpoint too why they do it.
Oh,
but I
100%.
Think as a viewer, could be done a little better.
I think I used to watch it as a kid, and I can still picture where I was watching Norman and Faldo and Tom Watson and all those amazing players. Mm-hmm. But it's turned into a little bit of a fake Disneyland for me personally, in that preordained you are going to watch this person and we're going to speak here and I'm going to be structured. It's losing its dynamicness. And so I agree with you. Tiger's obviously getting people to watch, but I don't want to watch Tiger on Saturday, not break 80. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just going to switch off and I'll watch NHL. And, let's talk about some golfers. Who'd you enjoy?
Yeah.
Scheffler was obviously.
Scheffler was great. I really enjoyed watching DeChambeau and Homa play on Saturday.
So what did you think about DeChambeau? What did you
Well,
take
it's cool seeing those two next to each other just because the way they go about playing golf is so different. Yeah. So DeChambeau's just going after everything and he hit some awesome shots. And then Homa's just smooth as butter and beautiful swing.
It was the first time I watched Homa. He's obviously on the broadcast. He's phenomenal. I didn't realize how technically brilliant his golf swing is.
Yeah.
He's just got it. As Tiger said, dude, you should be winning.
Yeah.
So he putted well and
played really well. Yeah.
So he doubled 12. But apart from that, he played really well.
Really solid. Yeah. He
was and Bryson, I'm a huge fan. I just love everything about him. To me, from a player's point of view, it just looked a little technical. Mm-hmm. So he has, I don't know if Smiley Kaufman's on point here, but Smiley said that he stepped off all his putts, which he clearly was doing his routine, but I didn't see him step off. So I'm going to disagree with Smiley there a little bit. But it looked very E equals MC squared of my putting.
Yeah.
And if there's one place, and I've been there, you know, several times, if there's one place you can't E equals MC squared on a putting green, it's Augusta.
Yes, of course.
And so I think Bryson probably had a chance to win, but it was too technical.
Okay.
On his putting. So he burned. Yeah. How many edges did he burn?
So many.
So many. And then from his iron play, I thought he drove the ball better than anyone on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, the driver he hit up 8, Homa hit it 310. Bryson's carried this thing 328 over the bunker.
Yeah.
I mean, he is absolutely bombed it.
Awesome.
But then he landed his second shot on the back of the green. He hit the green, but because his distance control with his irons is still not on point, Augusta penalized him.
Yeah.
It's one place you must hit your numbers.
Yeah.
And so I found watching
Bryson as a huge fan, and I would have loved to live play to win just to kind of, you know, say, hey, we're still here, guys. You got to let us in. Notice you didn't watch hardly any live players. Cam Smith, I don't think I saw Cam hit a shot.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Koepka and Rahm were the ones I had said anyways I thought would be there on Sunday.
Yeah.
Dwindled
but
off.
But Bryson was hitting these. So if here's a green and the pin's at the back, Bryson would land it 4 feet before the pin. It would just bounce off because I think the takeoff I had for the whole week was the golf course one. It because of that wind, it was hard and fast, which is awesome.
Yeah. And to see, we were talking about a tournament not be, you know, 27 under is the winner.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
You know, well, Scheffler got into double digits under par, but everyone else was.
Yeah, I had written down here, I think there were about 9 or 10 guys who shot under par out of top 60 plus ties. So out of 70 odd guys, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome. It's cool to see. Oh, he was under par this week. Played pretty damn well.
He played really well.
Yeah. Which was awesome. And then of course, Scheffler just, his misses are so
good. Oh, he's so good. He's just, as I said, from a customer, from a golf lover, unfortunately, he's just boring to watch, but a wonderful man and a family guy. And I just think that he's an amazing individual and, but unfortunately, it's not exciting to watch.
Yeah, I feel like he mitigates risk so well. When he does miss, it's very calculated in a lot of the right spots, and he recovers, and there's just very little drama.
Yeah, there's no drama. We love no drama.
Yeah, which, God, if I was business. Playing golf, I'd love it to be that smooth.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's funny because you don't want to, in no way is there a negativity to it. He's awesome. Everything
it's
about
so impressive.
Him. He's like, I'm going to can it if my wife goes into labor. He's about to have his, imagine his week. How's your week last week? Oh, good. I saw 50 patients. Youngie, how's your week? Oh, I gave some lessons and built some clubs. How's your week? Oh, I won the Masters and had a child. Like that's, I wonder if they're going to call her or him Augusta or August or
something.
I would say the name has to have some Augusta.
That's a good shout.
Yeah, I'm thinking the name has to have a little of Augusta opinion. But please, you know, golfers, we're not taking anything away from Scottie Scheffler. What a remarkable, phenomenal. I have man love towards him. He's number one. But unfortunately, he's boring to watch. Because one thing I took away, you know, what did you take from the Masters? One thing that I learned more is that after seeing Elvis the movie, and I learned more about Elvis and that whole who he was, I look at Tiger in a very different light now. I see him as a complete showman. And what I mean by that is, look, my opinion, personal opinion, greatest golfer that's ever played, without a doubt. And with respect to Mr. Nicklaus, I think Tiger, because he had more competition and was he's phenomenal. But his showmanship is unrivaled. He's on 3, which is the basically nearly drivable par 4. We're going to get to Tiger in a little bit. He's hit it further than most anyone in that field, including Bryson. So he's pumping it out there 330 at nearly 50, which is astronomical. The pin's top right on day one, and he's got this little wind shot, and he has conservatively, I don't know, 2,000 people around. Now, Tiger gets up there, and everyone's on them. My point is he's fueled by having people watch him.
He's very well aware.
He's well aware. So he's there, and he's jiggling around, and he's throwing grass, and he's blowing on his hands. And I thought, you pompous son of a gun, just hit the ball. Whereas Åberg, who we'll get to, he would have hit that ball in about 6 seconds.
Yeah, he just gets the business.
But Tiger's there and he's doing his thing and he's just the gallery eating out of his hand. If he was a parishioner at a church and he said, hallelujah, I need you to give me $5,000 each, they would have just gone nuts. My point is that he is such a brilliant showman like an Elvis, the gallery can't get enough.
Yeah.
And unfortunately on Saturday afternoon when he didn't have the game to give them, his whole tone and body language changed. I mean,
changed
he was
a lot,
on Thursday, he was serious but poised. By Saturday, he was grumpy as shit and just didn't want to be there.
Yeah. And I think, well, for me, I here, anywhere I'm at, New York City, in the airport, traveling, I just can't stop but watch people walk. And I'm looking at, okay, maybe knee, hip, whatever, some sort of issue.
Because that's your passion.
Yeah. And then I was just watching Tiger walk, you know, and from the start of the Masters and when he's playing well to the moment, I feel like
Thursday he was
playing,
here.
Yeah, not as well. His posture and his cadence, his walk, everything starts to change a lot. And we have some suspicions body wise, you know, why that may be happening. But
so do you want to pivot? Do you want to pivot into that? So everyone wants to know, how can a golfer go from what did he have? One over even, which was amazing.
Yeah.
As I said, I think he's the greatest that's ever played. I'm thinking as a customer on Friday night, holy shit, this guy could win this at golf event, which at 50 with his history is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm in. I've the hook's in my mouth. I'm watching this all weekend. Yeah. But to your point, his tone changed amazingly. And if we look at the facts from his report, now I take what he says with a grain of salt, but he said, my ankle is at its as good as it's ever going to be in terms of it's fused and in theory, it shouldn't get worse or it shouldn't get better. Is that a fair call?
The mobility is going to be what it is.
It is what it is.
Now until forever, yeah.
But for him to change his physique and his tone from Thursday looking bulletproof, I mean, he looked physically huge.
He's jacked.
So we know that he has bench pressed the shit out of it for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's upper body hard. And I know I've seen interviews where he's now generating a lot more speed upper body than he used to. Just because the hips and the lower back fusion and the legs and all that have been through so much.
So why don't we talk factually what we think? He's a businessman. He's a brilliant businessman. Mm-hmm. He's launching a new brand. If he launches a new brand with massive guns and big old chest, and he looked bigger than Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that I took away. Tiger looked humongous, but in a abnormal kind of way. I thought, all right, so what do you think? What do you think went on there?
Yeah, so I'm just watching his posture a lot. And like I talked about with the walking, limp starts to get a little bit heavier. And of course, as we know, Augusta is a pretty intense place to walk.
Yeah.
So that's going to wear on him a little bit. But I just see a lot of lower back extension. So hips getting a little bit more anterior tilted. Ribs to me look
so maybe
a bit,
let's talk about it. So
yeah,
he started more neutral on a Thursday. So his backside was kind of behind him and under.
Yep. And so if you think of Scotty's belt buckle facing me this way, it's going to start tilting down towards the floor a little bit. So hips tilt forward. If you think of him like a bucket of water, I think is an easy analogy. Yeah. Spilling the water out the front.
Out the front. Chest puffs.
With that, lower back starts to extend. So you start to, even with Scotty's vest on here, you can see the lower back arching a little bit more. And then the thing I always notice is these lower ribs here in the front start to lift up.
Now, what does that do?
When that happens here, you're going to have certain muscle groups that have a lot of leverage and strength.
Okay.
They're going to rule the roost. And then the opposing muscles are going to have lack of leverage. And the ones he's missing out on there, when you go into your tilt like that, glutes stop to lose leverage. Same with your hamstrings. And then the core and especially the obliques that anchor those ribs down and keep your lower back in a kind of protected
state. Yeah, and as that extended pelvis tilts forward, that internal rotation gets worse and worse and worse, as we talked about last week.
Hips can't move. You create a ton of mid-back compression when your ribs flare up this way. So your turn's going to start getting more difficult. You're going to start pulling from the lower back. And usually it just ends up being a steeper, weaker shot, worse contact, all the things.
And I don't believe that there's anyone on the globe talking this morning or, post-masters about this. And I think we're bang on this one. I really do.
Yeah.
We think he's launching a brand. He's a hell of a businessman. He has to look, and I'd say he's obsessive compulsive with his workouts, which everyone reports.
Yeah, you can't knock the work ethic. Oh, sure.
he's amazing. Again, this is not a personal thing. This is just a mathematical high and tight thing. But he's obviously been doing so much upper body bench pressing because he looked humongous that we believe that his lower back's gone into lordosis. His lower back must have been so tight.
Yeah.
So can you get through that on like a Thursday? And it's 11 stories, remember? For those who haven't been to Augusta National, it's 11 stories from the first tee to 16 green. Like that's insane amount of walking.
Yeah. So I know just speaking from my
The black and white
history of just having a lot of lower back pain, but then helping people with it every single day. And with Tiger again, like you have to just look at it as a body in front
of
you.
He's not
this has nothing to do with him personally. It's just, I look at everybody the exact same way. I've conditioned myself to do it where it's just another,
he's just a human.
Yeah. It's just a human being in front of you. So I would think you need some fixes that reset, or correct the tendencies you fall into. And everyone has their own tendencies. So I know for me, hips go forward, lower back kicks on, ribs up. And then if I'm playing golf like that, I'm not playing well. I know that.
Yeah, sure.
Guaranteed.
Because again, the pelvis can't use the hips to turn because of the tilt.
Definitely.
We've talked about that two episodes ago.
And the big kind of thing, so you say face to path, for golf is hugely important. And for me, a big rule of how the body works is is muscles respond to joint position. So hips start tilting forward, changes the angle of your actual hip joints, your lumbar spine, then the muscles start acting differently. Certain ones kick in, they say, all right, we're strong, let's go to work, lower back, hip flexors, and other ones shut off. So you need something that corrects that hip position, then the right muscles have leverage to do what they're supposed to.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff I go through a lot with people. There are neurological changes where you put the joints in a position where the muscles could then respond in a way that's advantageous to your golf game, how you feel, how you walk, all the above.
Yeah, I mean, again, getting back to did we enjoy the Masters, I got very annoyed, and that's not too strong of a word, when the commentators kept on saying, they must have said this guy, he's a medical miracle. And I'm like, no, he's not, mate. He was out the night before, he had a car accident, he obliterated his ankle. And Vijay Singh had 82 on the third round, but he wasn't a miracle. So they had a preordained to keep him up on the pedestal. And I'm like, how about we just call a spade a spade? Unfortunately, we think that he's probably launching his brand. He wants to look awesome. For him, it's important that he has this massive physique. But unfortunately, the upside has a downside. And the downside is your lower back's going to start to kick on, your glutes switch off, your hips can't turn, and that doesn't matter who you are. You can't play golf that way.
Yeah. So
Tiger.
I think it'd be fascinating to do a screening, see how things look, and then what he's actually doing training-wise.
Yeah. So you'd get his rib cage down, reset his pelvis, get his posture better.
Yeah. So the things I'd be working on would be a lot less of load and pumping weights, more getting his body and joints in a position where it takes stress out, but then efficiency
goes
up.
Which is your specialty, yeah. And then get back to some of the other guys. Tommy Kim, 6 under round 4. That was insane.
Which is awesome.
One of the first to give Scheffler a hug. So Tommy Kim seems a really good dude.
Yeah. Seems like a good dude.
He seems a great guy. And then we also had Mr. Åberg. Haven't talked about him.
Oh.
Amazing.
I think everything is so efficient about his game. The time spent, his routines, his swing just looks so.
He was about
effortless.
12 seconds from the time the club came out to pull the trigger, which
that's amazing.
I thought the takeaways, everyone has different takeaways. My takeaway was he never stopped smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he hit it on, so I went through who double bogeyed, the last round. Why? After the 10th hole, we're like, it's game over.
Yeah.
Everyone had a double bogey apart from Morikawa had 2, Åberg had 1. Homer had 1.
Sure.
Big Swede, 24. When he hit it in the water on 11, rather than the other guys who made double hit poor shots, I actually think he just hadn't played there enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pin 11, you don't go for 11.
Yeah.
You don't go for 11, you don't go for 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got a little aggressive, young, 24. I believe he had his caddy. I don't think he had a local caddy. I might be wrong there.
Yeah.
I know that Tommy Fleetwood had a local caddy and they crushed it. And I think he
would
have got paid.
Yeah, he ended up playing quite
well.
Yeah,
it was cool. So I think that was a little bit of inexperience. But other than that shot on 11, which I still think was the right shot, but the wrong time.
Okay.
What an amazing young man.
Yeah. Yeah, very bright future. And
they've said he's the next Tiger. I don't know if that is.
He's from his amateur days coming up now to where he is, he's...
Was he world number one amateur?
He's flying. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so world number one amateur, great player, and seemed an awesome young man.
Yeah, solo second
God,
finish
he was
at
quick.
The Masters.
I loved his putting routine, for me personally, was the standout. Just what I took from the Masters was Tiger's working on the wrong physiological stuff. Scotty Scheffler's just insane. But his putting routine was the best routine I think I've ever seen. If we put a Berge putting routine on Bryson, like I love Bryson's technique. I think his putting technique everyone should adopt, but it's too technical in his approach.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Åberg's, his just, where am I hitting it? There, putter in, boom. He has a practice putt. So he used to be like Stuart Appleby. Practice putt down the line, walk in, pull the trigger. And he's done in 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Bryson is looking at it for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
The ball.
Yeah. So it was awesome to watch. A lot of takeaways.
Yeah.
And man, I'm excited to see where he goes next.
So it'll be interesting. So he'll get interesting a little bit of Bryson's only playing in the Masters next year and then that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a huge personality not to have in a major.
Yeah.
Because I love watching him the most for me personally.
Yeah, he's so different from everybody else.
I love watching him play golf.
Yeah.
He seems to have his wedges dialed in more. But his mid-irons really let him down. That 5-iron to pitching wedge where he landed it. And we're talking on 17, he must have landed the ball 2 feet too far. We're not talking he's hitting it 6 feet too far, but at Augusta, you can't, simply can't do that.
Yeah, that's the difference between the winning and losing. Yeah, in winning some cases, and losing. So
here's I want to put you on the spot. So I'm playing this afternoon with one of our members here. How should I warm up? Knowing me, and so I'm going to do my.
Yeah, so for you, just get those hamstrings going. That's a big thing for you. So your pelvis is nice and anchored.
A little back pedal for those who didn't see a couple of episodes ago. Every morning in the shower, I stretch my hammies, palms flat to the ground. And since you told me to stop, which was 4 months ago, haven't done it since.
Yeah.
So your language is without stretching your hamstrings, which lengthens them and tilts my bucket of water forward, you're going to say turn them on to anchor my pelvis.
Yeah.
To give it more leverage.
Yeah. And in your case, if your palms flat to the floor, you have too much mobility and nothing is keeping your pelvis in check. So when you go out to swing, it's going to be harder to come from the inside and get that posterior tilt through impact.
And that, to be honest, for decades, I never got that. And the light bulb's gone off. So I'm going to reset my hammies today. Mm-hmm. We're so playing it.
It's that same thing I was talking about, muscles responding to joint position. So when you're tilted forward, hamstrings overstretched, have no leverage, you can't use them.
Yeah.
So when you go through a couple exercises, it only takes a few minutes, pull the pelvis back, hamstrings are in a strong position, then they'll support you all day long as you're out there.
So I'm trying to catch up with our eldest, Isabella. She's rowing up at Saugatuck, and she had her first rowing regatta down at Princeton, which was awesome. So Rosie and I are real into the whole rowing thing. But I found you get me to reset my hammies, and now when I row, I usually do 3K, 2K, 1K in about 18 minutes, 5-minute intervals, and my hammies, after you've taught me how to turn them on, are absolutely on fire.
Yeah, and they'll get strong really quick, but they just need to get reconditioned because you haven't been using them.
Yeah, I basically haven't used them ever.
Yeah, so, but the cool thing is once you do that sort of stuff, like people may be thinking, all right, so you do these little neurological exercises, where do you go from there? Well, it puts you in a position to then load it up, like then start throwing some weights around, starts looking more like golf when you're actually training, a lot of rotation, that sort of stuff. So when the body's in the right state, go crazy.
Yeah.
You're safe for one, and then you get more out of your workouts.
Yeah, you should never get injured working out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, beauty golfers, thanks for listening to Pivot Path. And remember, you can absolutely own your swing. So keep working hard. It's about the work you put into your entire game.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it.
Happy Masters post-week.
Yep. And we'll see you next week with more.